Appreciate the psalm. I think it kind of goes right along with what the Lord's given us today. I don't have any desire to turn back. I've been out there, and I see what the world has to offer, what the devil has to offer, and I don't want any more of it. I've had enough. And I also have seen what the Lord's had to offer. And it's been so refreshing and so precious and so special to me. It's renewed my hope and brought life to my soul. And I'm grateful for that this morning. Desire your prayers that the Lord would help us to say what He would have us to say today. The song talking about not turning back. I'd like for us to, for just a little while, think about determination. You know, I've found that we can be about as determined as we can possibly be. But I've learned that there's an enemy out there that's going to contest every step we take. The more desire that we have to draw closer to the Lord, and as the enemy sees us making those advances, he's going to come against us. He's going to try us, and we're going to be tested. But I'm thankful for the grace of God. The grace of God will bring us through, folks. And it'll help us to stay true and faithful to the Lord, faithful to our commitment. Commitment. There's a lot of people, seems like more than a lot, of people that go through life that really struggle with their minds, their thoughts. I've seen people that set their mind on something and they change their minds about as much as some people change their clothes. They'll get started on it a little bit, go a little ways, see the difficulty of it or see the folly of it, and they'll change their mind and they'll try another direction. That's the way the world is today. They'll try another direction. People today living their life on feelings. Because it doesn't feel good or it doesn't feel right, I'm going to change my mind about this. I'm going to take another direction. I'm going to go another way. I'd like for us to look at a scripture. It's been on my heart for a little while. It's found in the 5th chapter of Ecclesiastes. It's familiar to us. He said, Ecclesiastes 5:1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Therefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. I don't know of anything that people probably struggle with any more than their tongue. the words that they utter, the things that they say. Words can do a lot of damage. They can hurt those that you love. They can hurt individuals, people around you. They do a lot of damage. This generation that we live in today seems to take their words so lightly. They don't really stand by the words that they say. Because when things get a little tough, they begin to change their minds. Maybe I don't want to do what I said I was going to do. But I want to say today, in the fear of God, folks, when we make a vow before God on whatever it is, just like Jephthah that made the vow, whatever comes out of my house first, I'll offer it a sacrifice unto thee. He regretted that day because it was his daughter that came out of the house when he got back from the battle. Folks, there's one thing about this. We might take our words lightly, but what we vow, what we promise before God, he doesn't take it lightly. He takes it very seriously. The vow that we make, the commitment that we make to him, folks. There's only, people can change their minds, and people change their minds a lot. But only God can change the heart of a man. Scripture tells us over in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can change the heart. And folks, Lord, help us today that we not be guided through this life by the things that we have in our mind, but the things that we have. The mind's a battleground. It's where the enemy meets you. It's where the enemy challenges you, and he brings thoughts to you. And sometimes it's important that we do get rid of those thoughts and change the mind of the enemy and what he has proposed to us. But folks, the important thing is that we live our life with our hearts. Because if we don't live our life with our hearts, we're going to live a very shallow life before God and before man. There's a lot of shallowness in our world today. People don't stick to the commitments or the promises that they make, not only to God, but to one another. There's nothing that stands still and survives. And that includes time. Time doesn't stand still. Time moves forward. Where we were last Sunday, we've all experienced a little bit more life and things have changed. Time doesn't stand still and nothing stands still, including your relationships. The one you have with your loved ones, the one between husband and wife, the one between parents and children, they don't stand still. Everything is moving, because if it isn't moving, there's no life in it, and it becomes stagnant. And if it becomes stagnant, it will stunt the growth of that relationship. It won't be able to progress and go any farther unless we are working on that and nourishing that. Folks, a stagnant relationship is corrupting many people today. When I think of the families that are in our country, let's just look at our country. The families that we see around us and the relationships that they have, we have gotten so far away of what it really means to be a family unit, to what it really means to be a family home. We don't conduct ourselves that way anymore. Everybody's too busy, have their own lifestyles, and it's the parents' fault. But when the children are very little, the parents cause them to get involved into sports and this and that and everything else, and they don't have even any time to have the proper relationship with their parents. But I want to tell you something. When a vow is made to one another, there's more involved than just yourselves. When you and I made a vow to God, we made a covenant. We made a covenant with Him. Lord, this is what I'm going to do, and by the grace of God, I'm determined that I'm going to do it. We made a covenant with God, didn't we? When we got, those of us that are married, when we got married, we made a covenant with our spouse. And we promised them a few things. And when those promises are broken, a breach is made upon that relationship and upon the vows that you made to them. A breach is made. It causes a distrust to come into that relationship. It causes a lack of desire to come into that relationship. It causes you to look at the whole thing completely different. When we make a breach upon the vows that we made to one another. Well, it does the same thing with God, doesn't it? You see, when you make a vow, a young man and a young woman makes a vow to one another that we're going to do all these things that the marriage vows promote, there's more involved than just you. And there's more involved as time goes on. Everything is moving, as I said. Nothing stands still. Marriage relationships don't stand still. They continue to progress, and very few marriages today do not produce children. You see, there's children that becomes involved, and they fall under those vows. They fall under those responsibility of the parents. Now they're involved in our lives. And that vow covers them too. Because God heard the vows and He's going to require it at each and every one of us. He said it's better that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Folks, if you don't intend, and if you're not determined to stand by what God has given you, then don't make the vow in the first place. If you just get it in your mind and you don't have it in your hearts, folks, you're not going to be able to stay in that relationship and deal with it in the way that God is requiring of us. You see, that works so closely. That's with us, with one another here, and with God. It all works that away. People living on feelings today, and I want to tell you what love is. Love is in the will. I will to love. When someone has hurt you, when you've been involved in circumstances of life, and things just haven't come along the right way, and you get a little down and discouraged, folks, it isn't the feelings that you're going to be able to survive on, and it isn't the feelings that you have that's going to give you the determination that you're going to need to stand in the place, but it's the will. We, everyone, have a will, the defender of our hearts. Love's in the will. It's that way with our families, relationships, and it's that way with God. The definition of commitment is a promise to do or give something. Loyalty to a charge or a trust. A pledge to do something in the future. Obligation. Obligation. Folks, don't you know that that brings it down real close to you and I today? Those of us that make a claim of salvation, full salvation, saved and sanctified, don't you know that the vow that you made when you came to that altar, wherever it might have been, and you told God, God, I'm going to give my life to you. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want you to lead me, guide me, rule within me. I want you to be my all in all. Folks, we make a vow to God, and that binds us. It binds us to God. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. It binds us to God. Folks, as I said, nothing stands still in this life. Time doesn't stand still. Relationships don't stand still. And because people have taken their vows lightly today, and they don't keep the respect and the honor that they ought to have for God. It says fear God, and people don't fear God anymore in the way that they ought to. And because of that, people are going back upon their word, and they're going back on their relationships, and you see the families falling apart everywhere, don't you? You know, I read something recently where parents that are consumed by technology, computers, laptops, iPads, cell phones, parents. Now this is what they have proven out there. That are consumed by these kind of things become the direct result of mental issues in their own children. Folks, where is the family today that when the day is over, the husband has come home from work and he's kissed his wife at the door, the children come home from school. Where is the family today that sits down and has a relationship with one another, sits around the family table, discusses their day, the parents show the children their concern and want to know how your day's going, want to know how dad's day went, how mom's day went. Where are those days when families come together and have that get-together time? And show the proper love and the proper care that they ought to have to one another. But no, our families are dysfunctional today because families are not knit together. They don't have that care. They don't have that love. But yet they made a vow, for better or for worse, until death do us part, I'm going to love you with all my heart. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But when life begins to happen and they get involved in things and the devil comes along and he gets people caught up in things that take their minds off their relationship with God, kills the spiritual side of the man. Folks, anything that consumes our minds and attention on that is trivial, is designed to destroy our souls. It's designed to destroy our relationships, not only with our families, but is designed to destroy our relationship with God. The Word of God, Paul especially, speaks about communion. Have you ever studied the communion? Oh, we know that we can come and we have an ordinance service where we take communion. I'm not talking about that. But yet it is involved. But I'm talking about a relationship with one another, right here, you and I, in the flesh, and with God, where we have communion, where we spend time with one another, when we begin to learn about the other one, when we begin to feel their compassion, feel their passion, and feel their needs. You really don't know God unless you have communion with Him. Unless you get down to business, if it's in your mind, folks, your mind's gonna change. You know how often minds change. We begin to look at the prospect before and say, well, I don't want to go down that road, so I'm gonna change my mind, I'm gonna go down this one. Folks, my heart is fixed, David said. Gotta get the heart fixed because that is the only thing that's gonna keep us in the vows that we make before God. It's the only thing that's gonna keep us. And give us the determination that we need to be faithful. This vow business that he talks here, this is serious to me. But it seems that the world today takes it very lightly. We've all heard the remarks made that some folks get married today and say, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll get a divorce and we'll find someone else. Is that taking it seriously? Folks, if you start out living for the Lord, even Jesus himself, no man starts out living for, building a tower and he doesn't count up the cost, see what it's going to take. Folks, this isn't going to be easy for us. This is a narrow and a difficult way. It's a straight gate. It's going to be hard for us. And that's why Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. You need my grace. You need my wisdom. You need my understanding. You need my help and my strength. We need it. I need it. I need it desperately. We're fighting on a battlefield today. And every day we're fighting for our souls. And I want to say that one of the first places that we need to go is this tongue right here. The words that we say to one another. Do they have any meaning to them? Or are we just throwing them out there? Jesus told us in one place, we will give an account, didn't he? For every idle word that we speak. And I say, Lord, help me. I got a tongue too. And that tongue has been unruly many times in the past. But I say, Lord, help me today. That I not just throw out words. That, you know, sometimes words are thrown out because people's feelings have been hurt. And then you throw out words, and then that begins to have an effect on the one that hurt your feelings, and now they're hurt. And it's just a continual process that just goes on. Folks, love is not in the feelings. It's in the will. I've been married going on 48 years. So I have enough experience, background to tell you there's times when you don't feel like you love someone. I was giving counsel to a young couple years back that wanted me to bring them together in marriage, and I sat right there and looked at both of them, and I looked at him and I said, you really love her, don't you? Oh yeah, I really love her. I said, the day will come where you won't like her very much. He looked at me and he looked over at my wife and she said, he's telling you like it is. The reality of what happens. The reality of living life. Folks, we need to have communion. You know, he's come back since then. They've been married a while. He's come back since then. He said, you know, I didn't believe that, but I believe it now. Because I've experienced, every one of us are not nice sometimes. We've had our moments, haven't we? Come on, let's admit it. I know I have. I've had lots more than just moments. There's times that I'm not nice. There's times that I'm hard to love, maybe hard to like. It's in the commitment. It's in the vow that I made before God. I'm not going to change and go the other way just because things aren't going the way I want them to. I'm not going to just give up because this thing's too hard. Folks, I'm determined to go all the way to make heaven my home. I'm determined. I made a vow before God. And whenever life gets a little tough, folks, and we've made our vows before God, and I want you to come in and rule and reign in my life, folks, you better keep those vows. And you better hold them very high. You better hold them very high, in high esteem. Because it says right here in our reading, he has no pleasure in fools. You better pay that which you have vowed. When you make a vow, there's others involved. Remember when David and Jonathan made their vow? They cut themselves and they mingled their blood. Their hearts, the Bible says, were knit one with another. Folks, we need such a relationship with God that we are knit with Him, that we have a communion with Him, that we can get understanding and strength from Him when we go through our hard and difficult places. We need that kind of relationship with God. And when we vow these vows, and I know most of us here have, we better stand by them. Because it'll not slip through at the judgment. It won't slip through. Nothing's going to slip by Him. Let's look at another scripture in Psalms, the 66th chapter. I want to read some verses to get to my verse. Psalm 66 and 8, "Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard." Bless God, His people. "Which holdeth our soul in life." You know, He holds our soul. He holds our soul in life. That really struck me when we were singing that song a little bit ago about from death to life. He said, "My ransomed soul shall fly away to one long, bright, eternal day." One long day. There's no night there, the scripture says. My ransomed soul shall fly away. This being in me that God deals with me here in this life, when He talks to me, when He ministers to the very depth of my being, that soul that's going to live forever, going to fly away to one long, bright, eternal day. This old body go back to the dust from which it came. That don't mean nothing. But it's that soul. Folks, determination. Lord, help us to have determination. That the commitments that we've made, we're going to stand by them regardless. Because we have a soul that's going to fly away someday to one long, bright, eternal day. Everybody's not going to look forward to that like you and I are, if we'll be faithful. So He said, "He holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." You believe God will try you? I believe He will. He allowed His Son to be tried, tested. "Thou broughtest us into the net." I felt trapped. You ever been in those kind of places? Don't know where to turn, don't know what to do. "Thou laidest affliction upon our bodies, our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads." Lord, help us today. I said, that's not going to be easy. If it was easy, anybody could do it and they wouldn't need the grace of God. But it's not going to be easy. If you're going to make it, it's going to be because you want to. Because you're determined. Because you have it set in your heart that you want to go all the way with the Lord. And whatever comes your way and whatever you deal with in life. "Thou caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay Thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble." Do you know how many people have vowed to God when they got in trouble? "Lord, if You'll do this, I'll live for You the rest of my life. Lord, if You'll deliver me from that, I promise You I'll get saved and live for You." He said, "I will pay Thee my vows which my lips or my tongue have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble." Why, folks, we don't realize it sometimes, but when people get in trouble, it's when they feel their greatest weakness. And they realize they can struggle all they want to struggle, but they're not going to be able to get out of it. So they look to a higher being and say, "Lord, if You will deliver me, I'll live for You." I'll pay my vows. You better. You better pay them. When I was in trouble. That causes people to say some things that they may normally not say when they were in trouble. What is that? What did Job say, 14:1? Man that is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. There's been many, we don't talk about it anymore, but when I was growing up, the old preachers used to say there's been many a young men out there in the foxholes on the battleground say, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, when I get home, I'll live for you. You think God forgets that? He don't forget it, folks. He don't forget the vow that you made at an altar of prayer. He don't forget what you said, Lord, I commit it to you. I give it to you. I want you to come into my heart and my life. I want you to lead me, guide me, direct me, keep me from the enemy of my... He doesn't forget that. Lord, I want to serve you only. The only I want to serve. And I don't want to set any other gods before me. He doesn't forget those things, folks. He hears the words that we utter. He knows what's in the deep recesses of the heart. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings. With the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath tended to the voice of my prayer. We are so blessed today that we can call on the Creator, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He will hear us. And He will see us in our struggles. He will see us in our lowly place. He said to cause men to ride over our heads and go through the fire and the water, but you brought us out. He'll hear us. He'll hear us. But folks, once we cry out and say, Lord, you do this, I'll do that, you better do it. Because he's going to do his part. He do his part. The thought here is keeping the vows that we have made before God. I'd like to look at another scripture found in Deuteronomy. All the way over here in Deuteronomy. I tell you, I like Deuteronomy. There's a lot of good in it. Deuteronomy 23, chapter 23, verse 21. Thou shalt not lend, 21, that when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God. Now he's telling these children of Israel all the way back there. Thou shalt not slack to pay it. You pay that vow. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee if you don't pay those vows. You know it wouldn't hurt us, as Paul said, for us to examine ourselves. It wouldn't hurt us to kind of go back in our minds with the Lord's help. And say, Lord, I want to revisit some places that I've been in my life. I want to revisit some hard and difficult places. Lord, I want you to remind me what I promise you then. Am I keeping those vows? Am I keeping those promises? We got to be determined. We can't just throw our hands up and say, I quit. Can't do that. We got to be determined. If thou shalt forbear the vow, it'll be no sin to you. If you don't make the vow, it won't be no sin. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Because if you say it and make the vow, God sees your heart. He knows your heart. If you don't make the vow, is what he's saying here, it won't be any sin in you if you don't make the vow. But folks, once we made the vow, Every one of us in here today, adult people especially, have made a vow. We made a vow. Because we want and need the Lord's help. We can't go this way alone. And we made a vow. And I say in reverence and in the fear of God, Lord, help us to keep those vows. They are of utmost importance that we keep those vows. You see, sometimes we get so caught up with things in life. Sometimes we think, Lord, I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing that for you, and I'm going here, and I'm going there, and I'm testifying to my neighbors, and I'm doing this and doing that, and we ought to do that. Not saying that it's wrong, but I want to tell you what God really wants from you. He doesn't want your works. He wants you. He wants us. He wants you and I to be committed to His will in everything. His will. Committed to His purpose in your life. And I want to tell you, that can come down to where the rubber meets the road for a lot of people. Because you know what? His purpose is not always my purpose. What He wants for me may not be what I would choose for me. If you don't believe me and you ever get the opportunity, ask Joseph when you get there. Because he wouldn't have chosen that path that his brothers put him on. But God had His hand on it all the way. Had His hand on it all the way. And all the things that happened to Joseph, I don't read where he ever sinned against God. Might have made a vow or two, I don't know. But I don't read where he ever sinned. The Lord wants you and I committed to His Holy Spirit. Oh, we talk about the Holy Spirit leadership. Lord, help us to let Him lead us. Lord, help us. But our humanity wants to get in the way, and we want to take control of this. We want to make this work. Holy Spirit, You lead us. You guide us. When the Holy Spirit leads us, folks, we'll be led in the right direction. And we'll be able to keep our commitment, because He will be there to strengthen us and empower us. We'll receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, after He's come upon you. Committed to all things in Jesus Christ. To all things in Jesus Christ. I'd like to look at a scripture. You might think that it doesn't fit, but I believe it does. Luke, the book of Luke, 12th chapter. I was reading this a few weeks back, and the Lord gave me a different look at it. I've used this scripture many times over the years, preaching to the lost, preaching to the unsaved. But I'm not preaching to the unsaved this morning. I'm preaching to the church. So I'd like for us to look at the 12th chapter of Luke and the 16th verse. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Saints, I want to tell you this morning, the things that God has blessed you with, and I'm looking at this as spiritual blessings, the things that He has blessed you with, He does not want you to put in a storehouse somewhere. But he wants you to take that, the fruit of the blessings that he has blessed you with, and he wants you to go forth, and he wants you to bless others. Don't build no barns. Don't hide it under a bushel, but go out and bestow those fruits on other poor lost souls that are going into eternity without God. This man had the wrong idea, folks. He said here, I don't have any room to bestow, anywhere to bestow my fruits. We have a whole world out there for you and I to bestow the love of God upon the hearts and the minds of those that are down and out, that are in hard and difficult places, that don't know God. Lord, help us to know where to bestow our fruits, that we might be fruit bearers for God and win others for Christ. If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. I don't know how many times. God is so good, folks. I don't know how many times I've used this scripture preaching to the sinners, but I see it so plainly this morning that God is talking to us. It's a parable, folks, that he has blessed us with things that he doesn't want us to put under a bushel. He doesn't want us to hide it, but he wants us to go forth. He don't want to put it in a storehouse somewhere, lay it up for some other time, but he wants you and I to be busy in the work of the Lord. Busy for him. You see, I think it fits. Being determined. The devil will misguide us if we're not careful. He will misguide us. Hey, young people, I notice have a little saying that said, where God guides, he provides. Let God guide you. What he's given you, share it. Share it. This poor fella. He said, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, drink, and be merry. Folks, that's the most dangerous thing that we can do. Is take our ease. Sit back on our lees and say, well, I've known this truth. I was raised up in one of the saints' home. I've heard this truth for 40, 50, 60 years. That's the worst thing that we can do. Because the devil is not going to give up until you draw your last breath. He's working on every one of us. Sad to say that he is. Remember that brother that I told you about down in Kentucky, Junction City. 90-some years old, tears running down his eyes, and said, Brother Abbott, pray for me. The devil's fighting me harder now than he's ever fought me in my life. Lord, help us. Folks, I believe in dealing with reality. I believe in being realistic about things. The devil's real. Now, I don't want to give him any more glory and praise. I mean, he doesn't deserve any of that. But he is the devil, and he's real. And he set out, Jesus said, he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said that. So he is real. This old fella, he looked at all the wrong way. Saints, don't look at this the wrong way. Let's realize that if you're saved and you're sanctified and you're determined to make heaven, God has a vessel there. You're one of his vessels that he wants to use to lift up his kingdom here in this world. All you got to do, maybe you don't, we all kind of view things a little different, deal with things a little different. But sometimes when I get alone and get quiet and I think about eternity, all you got to do is think about those souls. One after another. Depart from me. Forever. Forever. There's a lot we can do, saints. I don't do enough. We probably none of us really do enough. But be careful. Lord, we've done this in your name and we've done that in your name. It's not the works. But he wants your total consecration. He wants your communion. You know, we know that God loves communion. Whenever the cool of the day came along there in the garden, what God do? He came down to talk with them in the cool of the day, didn't he? He wanted communion with his creation. And he wants communion today. Really know him. Really understand him. That we might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. That we might know him. The Lord wants us to know him. This poor old fellow, I'm not done with this yet. God said to him, see God's taking notice of this. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. None of us. We're all as grass, folks. We're here today and tomorrow we can be gone. We're another scripture says we're like steam. We're like mist, vapors. Our life is but a vapor. Like going up from an old tea kettle that we used to put on the stove and it just dissipates. And you never see it anymore. That's what this life is here. But we're living for the life to come. And we want to take everyone we can with us to heaven, don't we? You fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then who are they going to go to? Because you're not going to benefit from any of them. Once our life ends in the grave, folks, we do no more here. But our soul flies away to that land. That's a never-ending day. That's what I'm living for. I want that more than anything. More than anything, I want that. But he went on, and I want you to get a hold of this verse. Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We ought to be spending every day endeavoring to get richer toward God. If you think you know it all now, I got news for you. You don't. There's more that he has for us. There's higher heights and deeper depths, Paul said, for each and every one of us. He that layeth up treasure for himself. See, God wants us to meet this treasure out and is not rich toward God. Jesus here, in this little verse, he's not talking about a pay-as-you-go faith. It's not a pay-as-you-go faith. But he's talking about you and I participating in a relationship with God, which God already provides everything that you and I need, and he wants you and I to give it back to him. We really don't have anything to offer him except what he's given us. We really don't. So he said here, he that layeth up for himself and is not rich, treasure for himself and is not rich before God. He wants you and I to be self-emptying. Self-emptying. He wants true sacrificial love from you and I. This isn't pay-as-you-go faith. Oh, I have to do this and then I'll get a little more faith. And faith worketh by love. How much do we love him today? We need treasures that is rich towards God. You know, Jesus himself was an example of that. I'd like to read that real quickly in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. I like this verse, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christ here. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He did it for us, folks. He paid it all. Sometimes we, as we sing the words, Jesus paid it all, we don't even fully realize the depths of what we're saying. He paid it all. for your sakes. He became poor that you, through his poverty, might be rich. He's thinking about us all the way. He's about us all the way. His sacrifice, his life, his blood, it was about us all the way. You talk about emptying out. You talk about a loving Savior. A wonderful, loving Savior. This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, for my sake, we put our name there. For my sake, he became poor. He became poor that you, through his poverty, might be rich. I thank the Lord for that today. I really do. I appreciate his willingness and his big heart of love to come into this world. He left his throne of glory. He is the Son of God. And yet for our sakes, he humbled himself to the death of the cross, didn't he? I'd like to read one more scripture. We'll leave it with you today. It's found in Luke, the 22nd chapter. It's Jesus in the garden. Luke 22 and 39. Oh, that's not what I want. Oh, that's because I'm not in the right chapter myself. Sorry. 22 and 39. And he came out, and he went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying these words, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Other gospels have told us he prayed this prayer three times. In his humanity, he prayed this prayer three times. If you're willing, God, remove the cup, because I really don't want to drink it. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he was in such agony that his sweat was that it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Saints, let's not let the Lord find us sleeping. Awake, Paul said, and arise out of sleep. Let's not be sleeping. This is critical time. This is a dangerous time. You make your vows before God. You've made your commitment before God. Keep it. Whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, humbling yourself always is the direct route to go, isn't it? That's how you're going to find God is through humility. That's how I'm going to find him too. And he said, thy will be done. And yet we say sometimes, but Lord, I've got other plans for my life. I got other things in the works. But Lord, I need to do this and I want to do that. That's the mind guiding you, because the heart won't guide you that way. The heart will lead us into the presence of God. It'll lead us into his will. And I say in closing this morning, let us all live in the confines of the garden commitment. Jesus committed himself here. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Saints, If we don't come to that place where it's not your will, but it's His will, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. As they say, it isn't rocket science. It's got to be God's way, doesn't it? It's got to be His will. You got to come to that place, whatever it takes. I like the song that says, "I'm going on." But I want to read the last verse of this song here, "How Firm a Foundation." "The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." And then he emphasized that and he said it again, I'll never. Saints, there might be some things we'll just have to let go and go by the wayside, but don't ever forsake your soul. Don't ever forsake your soul, because that soul is going to live on somewhere in eternity. Pray for me that I'll be faithful.